Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
It is a technical death for another. Branson, the Lion,
Number one, to hear L.A. Marzulli and Steve Quayle, Dr. Michael Lake, Timothy Alberino, others. But we're also down his network because this is our target audience. What I mean by our target audience, these are the people that we are trying to reach. And so I got a bunch of the brigade guys down there. Sarge is with us. George is with us. Josh Manning is with us. Ray LeBlanc is with us. Chad Estes, he had car trouble. He got in there about 4 o'clock this morning. He's with us. George brought a friend. Maybe that's it. So we have a booth, and we're going to stand at the booth. We're going to wear our Coach Dave Live Brigade, our Salt Brigade stuff. We're going to stand out there. We're going to hand out flyers. We're going to talk to people about what we do. So we are on a recruiting mission here in Branson, Missouri. There's people saying, well, I thought you were down in Texas. Well, I was yesterday, last week, whatever it was. It all runs together. And yes, we're still planning to go down there again this weekend coming up. We're in contact with Chris Keyes and Rusty Thomas and Dale Socha. And still have the boots on the ground down in the Beaumont area. We're preparing to go down with about 30, maybe 40 of us next weekend back down to Rockport. So, I got a lot of irons in the fire, man. That's all I can say. So I seem a little bit distracted because the way we're doing this today, you're looking at me on my computer. I'm sitting under the light outside the pool, still dark. I'm listening on my headphone to the show. I'm speaking into my telephone.
Is it me or I can't hear
Coach? So you guys can hear me. So this is kind of, this is technology that's brought us. Am I doing okay, Joe? You're looking at me right there, Joe Silver. Give me a thumbs up if it's coming across okay.
I think Joe's having trouble hearing you, Coach. I can hear you. I think everybody else can, too.
Thank you.
I can hear you also.
Okay, good. I mean, it's crazy, man. Technology.
Okay, it's on my end. I'll fix that.
To Jared, he's made this whole thing work for us. So I'm going to try to do a good show. Excuse me. I was thinking today, I love coming to these things because these are the ultimate tinfoil hat things. Steve Quayle told us that he's going to unveil some new discoveries that they found. You know, they've been doing research down in South America, down in Peru, down there around where Linda lives, and finding some, uncovering some stuff regarding the giants. And so you can call it as tinfoil as you want to. Then watch the signs that are going on around us. There are, if I understand it right, 4,000 people. Think about that. 4,000 people have traveled from all across America to be here in Branson, Missouri for this legend conference. And we're excited to be here and be part of this. And I'm not speaking, I'm not putting it in any other way. We're going to hand out a bunch of literature. Shake a lot of hands. And do some recruiting for the Salt Lake Brigade. So I was pondering, I was sitting around last night, my wife, I gotta share this for you. Yesterday, did my show, when the show was over, I had to scurry and get to the airport because I was meeting with Gary. Oh, Gary! Gary's here. Gary Pierce, we can guarantee you that my wife, sweet little wife, drove me to the airport. I walk out of the house, I take my clothes, I put them in the car, put my duffel bag in the car, I go back in the house. I got a bunch of stuff to carry to take down. And my wife says, oh, hey, honey, let's take the van. I said, why? She said, well, I want to go by and look at a piece of furniture. I don't want to be able to bring it home. So I don't, okay, so I picked up all the stuff I had, and I carried it back out, and I put it in the back of the van and loaded that stuff up with our flyers and all that. And we jumped in the car, and we drove to the airport. And just as I pulled into the airport, it's about a 45-minute drive. I go to the airport in a car, and that's where I was going to meet Gary. Just as I pulled into the airport, all of a sudden, you want to see me? I got one. And I said, Michelle, the coin's in your car. Didn't you get the picture here? I couldn't bring it at the airport. Michelle's with me. Her car's at home. My stuff's in the car. I said, what are we going to do? I said, let's call Abby. Abby lives real close, so call Abby. Abby, could you grab that stuff and meet me halfway over here? And Abby says, yeah, sure, I will. And she goes walking down the hill, in Mom's Michelle's car. What do you think happened? Michelle's got the keys with her. That's how our day started off yesterday.
Do we do yours?
I'm lucky they were able to catch up with me, get me all my clothes, get me everything, and we're here. So I'm just thinking about on the way out here. Am I coming through okay, guys? Everybody doing? Somebody thumbs up. JR doing okay? I see the Sarge is with us today. Sarge got a. He got a late arrival last night. In fact, I forgot the sergeant's even here. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Make sure I'm sounding okay. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit paranoid here. It wasn't good? Oh, there's the sergeant.
I can hear you, Coach.
All right, good. Well, let's keep on rolling.
Yep.
I got thinking more about the dark side. That's one of the things that's unique about our ministry is we got our thumbs in a lot of dikes. And over the last 2 weeks, I've been focusing a lot on the hurricane relief. We've got our thumb in that dike. And you have to be careful because the next thing you know, you become a hurricane rescue ministry. And I don't want that to be that's just one of the things we do. We do a lot of things. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been so bogged down with all the hurricane relief and all that kind of stuff that I got to waste my tinfoil hat. So I was kind of excited when I got up this morning, I was able to put the tinfoil hat on and go to this conference. Because we lost sight of this, folks, in my opinion. We still wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, and pulling down strongholds. The spiritual war that we talk about, the vision war, flesh and blood against flesh and blood, is going on around us even more. In fact, I would say it's a distraction. The hurricanes, the weather, the earthquakes, the fires, it's all a distraction. Or it's, how about this? It's the band music at the football game that goes along with the game. But the earthquake and the hurricane, that's not the game. The game is the spiritual war that's going on around us. So I'm happy to try to zero back in on that a little bit here this morning. This is normally, and it's supposed to be Flea Flicker Friday, where we're allowed to talk about anything you want to talk about. I got some great stuff to throw towards you. I just want to open it up here and see if anybody's got anything on the heart they want to pop out here and Flea Flicker Friday. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, I want to talk a little bit about our show, our radio show on Saturday.
All right.
Last call. And we're having a great guest, a couple great guests, J.B. Williams, you know, and mm-hmm. Ted Weiland. Ted Weiland believes that the Constitution is not biblically at all. As a matter of fact, he thinks it's dangerous with regards to the Bible. He's a pastor, he's an author, and he's going to argue against the Constitution, and J.B. Williams is going to take the other end. And this is going to make...
Go ahead. Constitution, if biblical principles were applied to, it's probably a pretty good document. But if you separate the two standalone documents, I think you have some problems. That'll be an interesting show.
Yep, and I agree with you.
That's one thing. Worship the Constitution, right? The Constitution as a standalone document is very, very dangerous. Because the Constitution really inserts inserts government as God. Now, the Declaration declares, we know these truths to be self-evident, all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, unalienable life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and the security of these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, having their just consent of the governed. But if there's no God, then the government becomes the highest of purpose. That's the issue we run into.
Along those lines, all of a sudden I just want to get in my ear, Jared. I don't know if anybody else can hear me. Yeah, I can see you. Give me a thumbs up, JR, if you still hear me.
Yeah.
Because I went totally dead in my ear. Now, JR is not giving me a thumbs up. Does that mean I'm not being heard?
No, you're being heard, Coach.
I hear you.
This is crazy. Is anybody out there? Is anybody hearing me?
Yes,
I'm
Coach.
I'm trying to have Flea Flicker Friday, and I'm having a heck of a time communicating with those who are trying to communicate with me. You know what I'm saying? Jared, do you hear me?
Hey, Jared, can you hear him?
Do you hear me, Coach?
Jared, come in, Jared.
I think we lost Jared, Coach.
I'm here.
He's here.
Are they here, Jared? Are they hearing me?
They should be able to. I can hear you on the YouTube.
Okay, thanks. Here's my issue. I'm sorry, guys. I'm looking at my monitor. JR is frozen on my screen. Everybody's frozen on my screen. I'm not hearing them. Does anybody have anything you want to say? Otherwise, I'm going to move on and show you some of the stuff that I have prepared for you today. Anybody want to
say anything? Yeah, Coach. Yeah, Coach. They're manipulating Hillary Clinton's book.
Jared, I can't. Okay. So let's go, Jared. I sent you some stuff here today. I want to show you something that really was kind of profound to me today. Again, talking about the spiritual warfare going on around us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. And this stuff, this war is going on. It's raging around. I got 11 minutes video here on spiritual warfare. Yeah, let's see if you can go ahead and kick that thing up there. And then I want to take off a whole different direction with you.
All right.
Let's play that thing, bud.
Okay, one second.
Again, folks, bear with us. Technical issues here on my end. I'm outside the hotel, not by the pool. Internet's not real strong. I can't. Good thing I'm down, so they fire me.
Alright.
Everybody in my queue's frozen up. I'll get you.
Ready?
I'm ready, Jed.
At the very top of the food. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here with an update about spiritual warfare and the Satanic Beast system, which is now openly rolling out globally. And it's not for lack of reason. It's because the elite at the very top of the food chain worship Lucifer. And you need look no further than today's news from Breitbart. Gatekeeper of DC society Sally Quinn comes out as a cultist used hex to kill people. Now you may wonder who Sally Quinn is. The latest revelation surrounds Quinn, the surviving widow of Ben Bradley, the Washington Post's powerful executive editor from 1968 to 1991, who then served as the paper's vice president until his death in 2014. For nearly 50 years, the entire social and political world of DC revolved around this couple, Bradley and Quinn. His career took off in part because of his friendship with John F. Kennedy. The gatekeepers of who was in and who was out, the elite deciders among our ruling class with the extraordinary power of the Washington Post, and by extension the rest of the mainstream media, to abuse and weaponize their will against the rest of us. Now, this powerful article by John Nolte goes on to say, "In my mind, this explains so much." And he reminds people of the John Podesta emails, which led to the revelations of the occult practice of spirit cooking. and he brings up Podesta and Clinton's tie to spirit cooking dinner hostess Marina Abramovic, who wrote a cookbook about spirit cooking, and who is a full-blown occultist. And Nolte writes, let's just say it out loud. The most powerful people in our country are either outright occultists, are comfortable with witchcraft and Satanism, or are moving and shaking among those who are. And he concludes most powerfully, what we do know is that these people have completely rejected any notion of a loving God and moved towards darkness. As I said, this explains so much, especially the fact that everyone is shrugging over the disturbing news as though it is not news, as though it is normal, or at least as though it should be normal. That's how far gone we are in the United States of America, folks. Now, here's where things get really interesting. The attack on our culture, and the attack on our children, and the attack on our families only continues to ramp up. Now, here's the thing. We've talked about this a lot, and Ronald Bernard, the Dutch banking whistleblower, has told us the elite at the very top are Luciferians, period. And in this case, we are learning that the Queen of Camelot, as she's called, is an occultist, a witch of sorts, who honestly believes, according to her own new memoir, that she murdered three innocent people through the dark art of the hex. Quinn was born in 1941. She practiced the occult in the most demonic ways imaginable well into adulthood. She outs herself as a believer in the occult and as an erstwhile practitioner of voodoo, and the book is awash in tales of Quinn's occult prowess. She wants people to take this seriously, or at least to believe she takes this seriously. At the very least, she scared herself so badly when her third curse hit its mark, prompting a panic, that she vowed never to dabble in the dark arts again. You can read the article for yourself. It's over at Breitbart. Gatekeeper of DC Society Sally Quinn comes out as a cultist. Now, I read this to you because it was Richie on YouTube who reminded me that Planned Parenthood has teamed up with Satanists to promote abortion in Missouri. This is an updated article because about a year ago, I recalled that Breitbart had already reported that the Satanic Temple joins Planned Parenthood in pro-abortion crusade. And they wrote at the time, in the face of the growing pressure on Planned Parenthood after revelations that it was selling human body parts, the Satanic Temple has launched a pro-abortion crusade to come to the aid of America's largest abortion provider. And now, today, on the 13th of September, Missouri has reportedly doubled its abortion capacity this year thanks to the Satanic Temple and Planned Parenthood, who have worked in tandem to fight the state's restrictions on abortion. Now just stop and think for a moment how blockbuster a revelation that is. The Satanic Temple reached out to Planned Parenthood a year ago, and instead of Planned Parenthood saying, we want nothing to do with you people, we don't have anything to do with Satanism, abortion is just a woman's right to choose, they happily leapt into the relationship and in tandem have doubled Missouri's capacity for abortions this year. Now, if you don't think that what we're battling is spiritual warfare, I'd remind you that around the time that Breitbart originally reported on this relationship or partnership between Planned Parenthood and the Satanic Temple, I had released my interview with James Perloff, which was titled, The Elite Don't Want You to Know God is Real. And that was on June 22, 2016. And here's what I said at the time. Spiritual warfare is alive and well on this planet. The Gothard Tunnel opening ceremony on June 1st in Switzerland is just one of the best recent examples. That ceremony, which cost more than $8 million, was littered with satanic imagery, symbolism, and of occult importance to the elite. And take a look at what's going on at CERN and the occult agenda with Shiva, the goddess of destruction, positioned outside of the CERN Large Hadron Collider facility. The work of Anthony Patch has done much to reveal the elite's plans with CERN, the largest and most complex machine ever built in the history of mankind, and yet most people don't even know it exists. The point is, if the powers that be can make people of the world believe that the beauty of this Earth and the incredible complexity of life on this planet is nothing more than a random accident, that there is no creator, no designer, then they can get you to put down your defenses, your spiritual shields, so that you no longer have the eyes to see and the ability to recognize that the spiritual warfare in which the elite are actively engaged is very real, and it's unfolding all around us at this very moment. Now, I just want to share with you a couple more recent news items because something is going on in our culture and with our young people. This comes from the Boston Globe just the other day. A Groton, Massachusetts quadruple murder suspect allegedly killed his mother, grandparents, and their caretaker with a baseball bat. Now, this 22-year-old young man, evidently, allegedly, after being picked up by his mother and brought to the grandparents' house, bludgeoned these four adults with a baseball bat and then showed up naked at a neighbor's house saying, "Please help me, I've just murdered four people." That does not happen in a normal society. By all accounts, this was a young, talented jazz musician and an otherwise normal kid. And it reminds me very much of this horrifying story from about a year ago, August 24th, 2016, in which a frat boy, after leaving a restaurant that he was dining at with his parents and walking home, walked by a couple sitting in their garage with the door open, having a beer, and he approached them, broke a vodka bottle, stabbed and killed the couple, and then ate the husband's face and stomach. Police say Austin Haroff, 19, may have ingested caustic chemicals inside the garage of the couple he is accused of killing. But if you read into the story, it's revealed that police are convinced that Haroff overdosed on a synthetic drug called Flaca. Now, guys, if you've ever seen any of the images, the video of people in New York City and other cities flailing about on the ground on Flaca, some of them violently, some of them diving through car windows, you have to understand that we are under a brutal attack. There is no other time in human history where a 19-year-old Austin Haroff would have walked by a garage in which a couple were sitting outside in the evening, and he would have attacked them and ate the man's face and stomach. This is absolutely spiritual warfare under which we are now all victims, as the CIA brings in heroin from Afghanistan and the pharmaceutical companies flood our cities and states with opioids, and as the streets are also flooded with drugs like K2, synthetic marijuana, and Flaca. This was, by all accounts, a normal young man who liked to work out, and he stabbed a Florida couple to death before cannibalizing one of their bodies. It's just the most horrifying story, and it's evident that those that are aligned against humanity are purposefully carrying out a plan, an evil plan, a satanic plan, a Luciferian Illuminati plan that was hatched long ago. I will leave you with this soundbite from Myron Fagan, who in 1967 described in detail the events in the news that we see today. And he says everything was planned, and the elite only have one goal. Thanks for listening. For real news and information, visit us at sgtreport.com.
To the birth of the Illuminati. Adam Weishaupt was a Jesuit-trained professor of canon law, teaching in Ingolstadt University when he defected from Christianity to embrace the Luciferian conspiracy. It was in 1770 that the professional moneylenders, the then recently organized House of Rothschild, retained him to revise and modernize the age-old protocols of Zionism, which from the outset was designed to give the synagogue of Satan, so named by Jesus Christ, ultimate world domination, so they could impose the Luciferian ideology upon what would remain of the human race after the final social cataclysm by use of satanic despotism. Weishaupt completed his task May 1st, 1776. Now you know why May 1 is the great day with all communist nations to this very day. That was the day, May 1, 1776, that Weishaupt completed his plan and officially organized the Illuminati to put the plan into execution. That plan required the destruction of all existing governments and religions. That objective was to be reached by dividing the masses of people whom he, Weishaupt, termed Goyim, or human cattle, into opposing camps in ever-increasing numbers on political, social, economic, and other issues, the very conditions we have in our country today. The opposing sides were then to be armed and incidents provided which would cause them to fight and weaken themselves and gradually destroy national governments and religious institutions. Again, I say, the very conditions in the world today.
Okay, I think I'm back and working here. Jared, as always, figured out what I needed to do. I'm on my phone. He said, Coach, turn your phone off. Start, reset your phone. And y'all hearing me out there real good now? We up and running a little bit better?
Yes. I'm hearing you.
Great. Okay, now that I'm not so distracted, I was talking. Somebody tried to weigh in. Go ahead and weigh in there real quickly. I got a thought I want to throw out. Anybody?
Hey, Coach. Coach.
Yeah.
Guys on Twitter, look up hashtag Amazon Orwell my WH review. What the Amazon got? Amazon removed all the 1-star reviews from her book, and then they manipulated so all the people who put in 1-star reviews could not review anything else on Amazon.
A 1-star review of Hillary's book you're talking about, Vince?
Yes. She, believe it or not, has a 4.9 out of 5 review right now.
Unbelievable. Folks, listen. Here's one of the things that I was talking about. Gary and I rode 9.5, 10 hours to come down there. I was playing some videos. We're doing some car. It's amazing, isn't it, what you can do in your car anymore? I mean, pull up the YouTube videos. And we got talking about 911, and now the 911 Architects for Truth, they come out. And there's overwhelming proof that whatever happened on 911 didn't happen. That's not how it happened. Take off your tinfoil hat. Say that whatever. No Illuminati, no New World Order. Take that hat off. Just the facts, Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. The facts are it couldn't possibly have happened the way they told us to. Okay? Couldn't possibly. So then I got thinking about that. And I was thinking about the Bundys, what went on with the Bundys. And he's still locked in jail. And I think about the corruption that's going on. You know what our problem is? Here's our problem. Who do you turn to? If I right now had the JFK assassination. I hate to go clear back there, but it's been since 1963. If somebody did better math than me, they would say that that's 54 years ago. Would that be right? 54 years ago that happened. And now we know, as things are beginning to be exposed, we know that was not what happened. At what point, and who do we turn to say, hey, please, would somebody please straighten this mess up? Would somebody please get all the facts on the table? It's 60 years removed. Would you please tell us what really happened at JFK? Would you really tell us the truth of what happened on 911? Would you really tell us the truth of what? But what's the problem? There's nobody to turn to. Who do you take the information to? Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Mike Zulu of the posse, I can't remember the name of the posse that Sheriff Arpaio put together, they have unbelievable conclusive proof that Obama's birth certificate was fake. Okay. Now, who do you take it to? Mike Zulu said he took it to every congressman, every senator. No one will pick it up. See, one of the things we're dealing with is those of us, whether you want to believe in the New World Order or not, folks, here's the truth. We have no one to fight our fight. Hillary Clinton should be in jail. We know it's a crime. James Comey said it was a crime. All the evidence is there. It's a crime. Who do we take our grievance to? That's the First Amendment to the Constitution, isn't it? Isn't it? Jared, can you pull that up? Well, it won't help because I can't see it. Well, maybe I can on this other computer. The First Amendment, the First Amendment is to petition the government for a redress of our grievances. Petition the government for a redress of our grievances. The First Amendment, Jared's got it up there now. It says, the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting this. Hey, JR, this goes right along with what your show's going to be. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I have a redress of grievance. I have a grievance. I believe 911 was a lie. I believe the Kennedy assassination was a cover-up. I believe Hillary broke the law. Who constitutional right to a redress of grievances? Hey, boys. Who do we take our grievances to? I'm opening it up. I want to hear. That's the frustration. That's the problem. The old, I remember the old line, ain't about time somebody done something? Yeah. Who do we turn to? Somebody come in here.
Well, I can go to two things. First off, the 9/11. Okay. Let's just put away the Twin Towers. What happened on that third building that wasn't struck by anything that came down in the same likeness manner, brother? What, how does that happen?
Why won't somebody do something about it? We all see it. The Architects for Truth, they all say it. It couldn't have happened. That's all fake. Dale, who do we turn to?
Well, let's go back before the Constitution. Let's go to the Declaration of Independence, which is organic, and that is part of our law of our land, where it is stated when in due time that it's time for one for the right of the people that to cast off the restraints. It didn't say one government of another government. It says the right of the people to cast off the restraints of another government. Brother, it is the people. That's who we have to turn to. And if the people don't do nothing, the government is going to continue to steamroll over those people. But in the Declaration of Independence, and I could go get it right now, but it does say at that one time that it is it's not only the right, it is the duty of the people.
Jared's got it on the screen for us right now, Dale. It is the right of the duty of the people to alter or abolish it. But Dale, who do we turn to? Who do we turn to? JR, who do we turn to? I sit here, I watch on my computer, that building 7 coming down. It wasn't even hit by a plane. We all see it. Who do we turn to? Who do we turn to?
I think we don't turn to anybody. I think we need to work it out. You know what I mean?
Dale, I agree with Dale. The question is, how do we do that? It does rest in the public. The question is, how do we do that?
Right. Well, and that is...
You get rid of Congress.
Well, but you have to have the people to do that. How do you get people motivated to do it?
That's the point I'm trying to make by showing the previous video is that those dark forces are in control of all of the outlets. They're in control of every means of accountability. They hold all the cards. They hold the media. They're in charge of the Congress. They're in charge of the Justice Department. They're in charge of the church. They're in charge of everything. And the people, we feel like we have, what do you do? What do you do?
Well, Coach, remember this. During the time of the Revolutionary War, see, everybody thinks that everybody in America was jumping on board to come against Great Britain. That's not true. The nation itself was divided on those who were loyal to the king and those who were loyal to the separation. And so, brother, it is that it once again, the answer is in that Declaration of Independence. It is the people, and we rally the people. I want to go back to that Tower 7 real quick, because this is the answer many people say. Well, it was the heat. It was the heat from the other two buildings. First off, no, because people were rescuing in and out of those towers, so it couldn't have been the heat because they would have melted. The second thing is where the heat of the Twin Towers was so high, it was nowhere near Tower 7. There was no fire or heat that was near Tower 7. Does that make sense? When it came down?
Dale, who do we turn to? I mean, everybody
the people. The people, brother, you're part of that rallying. And that is that, you know, putting the truth out there. And brother, listen, we're as God told Elijah when Elijah thought he was the only one, God said, I have 6,000 prophets that have not bowed their knee. Brother, we're out here, and I know we don't turn to the government, we turn to the people. And it is the duty.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dale.
Go ahead. Oh, no. I was just going to. It's the duty of the people.
See, folks, listen, I want you to understand that that these shows that I'm putting together aren't just random. They may seem random sometimes in the topics that we're talking about. But do you remember at the beginning of this week when we started out? And what was it? What was this show? Well, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And where is the ultimate lawlessness going on? Why, it's going on in our government. And so then I showed you on Wednesday and Thursday the unholy trinity of Charles Darwin, who was a freaking liar. Can we say it? It's a lie. and they showed us Margaret Sanger, who was a liar and a racist and a God hater. And then we see that perverted, pedophile, homosexual freak, Kinsey, who brings all of this, these lies into, who do we turn to? I know who we turn to. The purveyor of truth, we turn to the Lord. And one of the things that makes it so difficult for us, boys and girls, if we really believe that we are in a war, do we expect the other team just to surrender? Is the other team just going to surrender? And who is going to wrest control of these high places? Who's going to wrest control of those back from the enemy? Or is our only answer just to sit here and wait for the rapture because, oh my goodness, we've lost it all. The devil's in control. Oh, even so, come quickly, Lord. Come. Is that it? Is that what our faith and our Christianity is supposed to be about? And the church should be leading the charge, and the church doesn't care. Dale cares. Rusty cares. JR cares. We got people who care. But where? The gatekeepers were being blocked at every turn. Come on in, Sarah. I'm sorry.
You know, I just looked up, you know, Jefferson's, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Now, we're mixing and mingling the world with the church because we want the church to do something, but gee willikers, it's the people who have to do something. And the people are the world, most of them in this country. Right. So it's going to be blood.
It's not pretty, is it?
We're not going back to war.
It's got to be.
You're not doing nothing. It isn't going to happen. You already proved. We've already proved that there's no power in the body of Christ. Maybe anymore in this country. You're not doing nothing unless you go to war.
Well, there's no power, Steve. There's power in the true body. But in this false thing, is the body. Remember our hopes. Oh, Jeff Sessions, wait till he gets in there. He's going to bring justice. Yeah, right. Because lawlessness will abound. The love of many will wax cold. So don't think I'm floundering here. The video I just showed goes back to 1776, and the attempt to wrest the power from the people began immediately at the beginning of this nation. And they've seized it. They've seized it all. I could go into a court of law right now, almost with the evidence I have. I could go into the court of law and refute 911. What's going on, man? What's going on? So all this fake science, this is what it is, fake science. Come on, man. Who do I go to? Who do I go to right now? Who do I go to and say, hey, that baby is alive? Science proves that baby is alive. Who do I turn to? And see, the whole idea of all the, we are so burdened with blood guilt in America that the Lord is permitting this stuff to happen and waiting for the church to rise up. While the church is waiting for the politicians to do something, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything.
Hey, Coach, can I share two passages of scripture here real quick?
Please do.
Because we're going to turn to the truth. Okay, so here is Christ getting ready to enter the Garden of Gethsemane and pray. And he said unto his disciples in Luke chapter 23, before he said, I told you before to go without a purse and bag and sandals, and you did not lack anything. He said, but now let him who has a purse take it along. Likewise, a bag. And let him who has no sword sell his robe and buy one. For I tell you, that which is written must be fulfilled to me. So, and then his disciples replied, Lord, we have two swords. And Jesus said, it is enough. Now watch this. Let's go over same chapter to verse 47. It says, while he was beginning to speak, behold, a multitude came, and one called Judas of the 12 was preceding them. And he approached and kissed Jesus. And Jesus said to him, Judas, you betray me, the Son of Man, with a kiss. And when those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said of the Lord, Lord, shall we strike him with the sword? Did you hear that? They asked him, hey, Lord, you want us to strike him with a sword?
Thanks, Gary.
Yes, that was Luke 23. The first passages of scripture was verse 35 through 38, and then same chapter, verse 47 through 49.
But so Dale, let's just look at this. Let's look at this whole scenario that you're just sharing there with us, right? We see, actually, one of the disciples asking Jesus whether or not there ought to be an insurrection. Isn't that really what he's asking? Isn't that really what he's saying? Hey, Lord, is it time for us to take the law into our own hands? Isn't that really what he's saying to him?
Yeah, the only reason Jesus stopped them, and of course they out of action struck somebody else's ear, if they're going to strike anybody, Judas's ear, but they struck one of the servants of the high priest. Jesus knew that it was time for him and that this had to take place, but there's no reason why he would have not given them charge earlier in that chapter. He says, and I told you, I sent you up before like this. He says, I'm telling you, I'm sending you like this. And what is the church saying? Oh, brother, you can't do that. I've had these conversations whether we should bear arms or not in the church. And I said, look, someone breaks into your house and raping your wife, what are you going to do? Drop to your knees and pray in tongues? I said, are you kidding me? I said, you're worse than an infidel.
Amen. So Joe, we got to drain the swamp. How do we drain the swamp? See, Trump's been telling us drain the swamp. Is the church getting behind him to drain the swamp? No. Is the church demanding an investigation of Hillary? No. Is the church demanding an opening of the investigation, 911? No. Is it what do we do, Joe?
We.
The church is part of the swamp.
Yeah, it is, right? Good point.
We, the people, have to assemble again because you know the church is destroyed pretty much. Okay. So the remnant that's left, and, you know, I'm not trying to be proud or anything, but I know I'm part of that. I know everyone that's in here is part of that. And there are more that are out there. It's a small percentage totally. But if the nation's going to be restored, I think that would be a byproduct of getting people ready for the Lord's return. I don't know if the nation has a chance.
Coach,
yeah.
The small percentage is still afraid of mankind. They're afraid of losing their house, losing their families, losing their jobs, losing their whatever, their stuff, to do something. Because was it not a 3% that overthrew in the Revolutionary War? And they all lost their money, their home.
All we have to do is look at the impact the left is having in the streets. Look at the impact with just a few hundred of them, the impact that they're having. What would a righteous rebellion look like? But we've been convinced in the body of Christ that the rebellion is of the devil.
Dave.
Yeah, Raj.
Dave.
Yes.
I want to come back for a minute, you know, when you were saying, who do we turn to? And, you know, I think we all share at times those thoughts, but Dave, we've got to always remember foundationally, and I know you do, during these difficult times, be it personal or for a nation, I know in my personal life, during the times of burden and difficulties, when I would just speak to my God, to my Creator, the foundation was laid then for me to move in other directions. And I don't want us to lose sight of that. We are living in a corrupt society. We are living in where up is down is up. But none of this, if we read scripture, should surprise us. And our foundation of turning to our God during times of difficulty is not a wimpy move. It is a move of strength, because he then can direct us, those that are willing. So, you know, who do we turn to? Foundationally, it is our God. It is our King. It is our Creator. He can move without us moving. He takes action without us taking action. And it is through a relationship with him, be it prayer, fellowship, or obedience to his word, that he moves at times. Not always, but at times.
Yes, but what is it that he would have us to do? See, that's the debate. Until we can all get on the same, I think we're all on the same page, right? On the same page, and we get unified till the remnant arises and gets. That's why I love being down here. There's going to be 4,000 remnant believers here in Branson. The body's going to be here, and the enemy's really, really scared of that. See, that's why I love being down here. But see, one of the things that's missing from these conferences, which when I get it, I'm not patting myself on the back. When I get a chance to address them, I always say, okay, now what? Okay, the Giants are coming back. Okay, now what? Oh, okay, the Illuminati's in control. The Satanists are running it. Okay, now what? Oh, marriages are being destroyed because of demonic influences. Oh, okay, now what? And it's almost like we've become paralyzed by information gathering. And like we want to go around and we want what we believe to be continually confirmed. Uh-huh, see, there it is. Or what's the scripture say? This is that. This is that of which they spoke. This is that. And we spend all of our time doing that. This is that. But we don't spend any time saying, I'm going to do something about that. Where do we turn? The mockery that Hillary Clinton would even be walking free. The mockery of our system of justice. The mockery of it. Well, that Bill Clinton would still be getting paid money to speak. The mockery of it.
Coach?
Yes.
All government starts at the local level. What we need to do is when we find corruption at the local level, all the way up to the federal government, take one out at a time. What we need to also do is we need good people to be on the court system as jurors and not co-workers in sin, such as why would Congress have their own people in committee take them to task? Put citizens out there who don't have a thing to, any part to it, or can't be blackmailed, have them sit on as the jury.
How about this one, John? How about this one? One of the things I talk about with the Salt and Light Brigade, what if every local community got themselves a God-fearing Salt and Light Brigade going on, and are you ready? They reclaimed their local government.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's what it'll take.
I can't wait for the church to do it, but I can promise you this. That 20 deeply committed men and women could raise hell in a community. Does everybody agree with that? 20 deeply
yes.
committed said we're going to do something. We're going to get rid of that mayor. We're going to get rid of that scummy mayor. We're going to get rid of him. And by the way, here in our small little town, no. I'm tired of every time I turn around the corner, there's a cop there with a radar gun. We're going to put an end to that crap. We're going to put an end to that. It could happen, see, but we don't have that mindset. And as listen, if you get a chance, go back and listen to that video that we played, that 11-minute video when they talked about the Illuminati and what was the job of the Illuminati. The job of the Illuminati was to destroy every avenue for the people to be able to rule over themselves. That was what they wanted to do. And I got so mad. I'm sorry, Gary and I riding down here. Every freaking mile, there's a guy sitting with a radar gun. That ain't government. How long are we going to put up with that? Telling us that they want to protect us by making us slow down. Well, it ain't the guy speeding that's a problem. It's that butthole in the left lane going 45.
Amen.
So we can sit around, we can gripe, Ramona, complain, or we can find 10 or 15 or 20 people in our community and begin to rise up and say, no, sir, it ain't going to happen here. It ain't going to happen here. We're sick.
Imagine if those 4,000 people that were there, like-minded brother, if they came out of that building and marched the streets today, right?
But they got to be.
I'm plus one is the majority.
Be given marching orders or they won't do it. Nobody's blowing that trumpet. Nobody's saying, come on, let's go follow me. Come on.
Hit somebody.
Hit Coach.
Somebody. Hit somebody.
I'm saying it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Coach, you're blowing the trumpet. We're behind you. And blow it really, really loud.
Not only am I blowing it, I'm running up the hill as I'm blowing it. I just don't sit in my office and blow it. It's great frustration.
We got to get
nothing changes. You got, well, listen, brother. Then you got to, listen, brother. Nothing changed down in Texas. God didn't make provision, Coach, until he knew that we were going to go. And when we went, we went. We were already determined. We didn't, when we didn't have two nickels to rub to go, we just went. God knew. We just show up, brother. If God we'll bless- show up, God will show up.
God blesses action. He blesses action. Instead of sitting around and this is that and griping and moaning, yeah, that's what the Lord said was going to happen. Yep, there it is. You can see it in the stars. Yep, yep, yep. Hell, do something about it, man. And if I'm out and I'm trying to rebuild the culture and the end of the world comes, I'll have a damn hammer in my hand. I will be trying to fight till the very end. That idea, that attitude is totally 100% missing in the American church. We have got to revive that spirit. Somebody do something. Hit somebody.
Amen.
What worth is there of a battle plan if it's not implemented, Coach? Right?
We have one, don't we? Don't we have a battle plan? I mean, we got one.
We got one. It's the charge of the Lord. Go.
Go, man. The charge of the light brigade. We've got it, man. We've got it. We have got it. But we still sit around.
Getting 60% off.
We still accept baby slaughter in America. We still are accepting it. They're telling us it's legal. They're taking our tax dollars and killing. They tell us it's legal and we let it go on. What is wrong with us?
The coach?
Yeah.
This is Brother Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
What do you think about coming out to University of Nevada, Reno?
Uh-huh.
Give a promotion speech. I'm going to be preaching on Wednesday on the Word of God, and there's a Christian, our young Christians there, men and women, are on fire, but they are afraid.
Mm.
They need motivation.
Amen.
I'm going out there Monday. I got an appointment there at the VA. And then going to that campus and preach some more. By golly, I've got more grace and love than the non-believer.
Hey, Jeff, here's what it is, boys. I got to wrap it up here because I got to get to the thing. This is that. It's in the scripture. I wish I knew where it was. This is that. Meaning, this sign is what was foretold. This is that. There it is. This is that. Well, I think it's time to do something about that. We now see that this is that. Let's do something about that. That's my battle cry. That's been my battle cry. We are in the mess we are in because we've accepted the mess that we're in, and we've become convinced that we can't do anything about it. Well, I'm mad as hell, and I ain't going to take it anymore. God bless you all. We'll see you Monday morning. JR tomorrow at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm not mad. It just seems like it. God bless you.
Thanks, Coach.